Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places. This is Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host, Brian Lush, exclusively at rockwired.com. Today, Rockwired Profiles singer-songwriter Rick Zweig and his latest CD, Running Out of Time. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media, LLC. Limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome to another edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there. Singer-songwriter Rick Zweig doesn't have the kind of resume you expect from a rock and roller. Before he picked up a guitar and decided to live that rock and roll fantasy, he was a lawyer and eventually a judge. The only time I've ever spoken to a judge is when I had a ticket, so speaking with Rick about his fourth album, Running Out of Time, was a real treat. You can hear that interview in just a few minutes. From the CD Running Out of Time, here is Rick Zweig with I'd Like to Do It Again.
Have you ever wondered if you could live again? What would you change? What would stay the same? Have you ever wondered one last time.
From the CD Running Out of Time, that was Rick Zweig with I'd Like to Do It Again. Visit Rick at his official website, www.rickzweig.com. I had a chance to speak with Rick about his latest CD and his switch from law to music. Here's how it went.
Well, Rick, I mean, I've interviewed, you know, countless people, but I don't think I've ever interviewed anyone with a CV quite like yours.
Yeah, it is a little, probably a little unique.
It's very unique. I've never interviewed a judge before.
Ex-judge, anyway.
But anyway, you've got this new CD out, Running Out of Time, and now that it's out there for people to hear, how do you feel about the end result?
Well, I'd give myself a B-minus. You know, I mean, I'm hard on myself. I think the music came out about as well as I could expect. You know, I'm a little disappointed in some of my lyrical content, but, you know, that's what makes you want to do better next time. And I think one of the reasons I say that, I go back into the studio 2 days from now, and the emphasis for the next recordings is definitely going to be on social commentary and lyrical content. I think, you know, I've still got a long ways to go to make my stuff a little more relevant. So that's the objective this time around.
I see. And what do you think, I mean, from what I understand, this is your fourth album. How do you think this one is different from previous releases?
Well, it's better.
Okay.
You know, if I could make one analogy between law and music, it takes time, and it takes practice, and it takes mistakes, and having the ability to learn from your mistakes, which, you know, when I was a trial lawyer, that was the key to success. I mean, it was all right to lose, but you had to be better the next time around. You can't make the same mistake twice. And the music, I think it's much the same technique that you have to employ. You have to learn from your mistakes. You have to be critical. You have to analyze what you've done and see where you can improve. And when you get complacent, that's when I think an artist has trouble and he or she doesn't grow anymore. So, you know, I'm pretty much pleased with the way the fourth CD came out. It certainly was the best one we've done so far, but I still think there's a lot of room to grow.
I see. And talk about how music began in your life. How did that start?
Well, it's actually interesting. I went to undergraduate school at Ithaca College in Ithaca, New York, and I couldn't play a note, and I couldn't sing a note, but it seemed like all my friends at that time were musicians. So I got into, I had a radio show that I did at school, and I wrote a newspaper column on rock music, and, you know, I was sort of a pseudo-expert on blues music at the time, and one of my dear friends was Larry Hoppen, who was the lead singer for Orleans, who had a number of top 10 hits in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just surrounded by musicians, you know, but when I got accepted into law school, it was the proverbial fork in the road of my life, you know, and I just decided to see where that would end up, and, you know, it ended up pretty well for me. But as the years went by, I decided, you know, I wanted to go back to what I really, really loved, and that was music, and I just was determined to try to learn how to play guitar and learn how to sing and learn how to write songs, and you know, it's a continuing process, so that's where we're at. I've been at the music thing now 7 years since I retired from being a criminal court judge, and I feel like every year, you know, I get a little closer to where I ultimately want to be.
I see. And the decision to switch from law to music, I mean, what was it specifically? I mean, what was it simply a matter that music spoke a little more strongly, or was it stress of the job, or...
I just got sick of the lawyers, you know. know, it's just this constant fighting and arguing. You know, I just enjoy musicians a lot more than I enjoy being around lawyers and people who love music. You know, people who are in the music industry in one capacity or another. They just seem to be more dimensional, stimulating people. You know, I mean, God, I'm not saying all the lawyers are bad. A lot of lawyers are great people and do wonderful things. But you know, give me a bunch of lawyers over a bunch of musicians, I should say. Over a bunch of lawyers. I think I just needed a change. And you know, I think one thing maybe my life serves as an example. You know, you're never too old to follow a dream, you know, no matter what. If you want to do something in life, damn it, go for it. You know, what's the worst that can happen? You know, if it doesn't work out, you move on to something else. I've never been scared of failure, you know. Sometimes it's the best way to ultimately succeed is to initially fail. So bring it on.
I see. And what do you think fueled you to want to become a songwriter? I mean, you know, I mean, it's one thing to put on a guitar and, you know, sing somebody else's songs on stage and act the rock star, but you know, what fueled your writing in the beginning?
Well, just, I think, listening to artists who I had great admiration for. I mean, my role model as a songwriter would be Van Morrison, you know, the Irish great singer. Guy has to say, and you say, gee, I wonder if I could do something similar to that, you know, and it's just the challenge, you know, it's like shooting a 25-foot jump shot, you know, I wonder if I keep trying that, eventually, can I knock one down, you know, and he was a big inspiration, and a lot of other songwriters, too, but you know, Van Morrison is the man for me. I think that's what he's called, isn't it, Van the Man?
I think so. He's a bit older. The you know, it's not quite my generation,
yeah.
but I get what you mean.
Yeah.
But so with that being said, explain if it can be explained how songwriting works for you. How do you go about it?
Well, I don't think there's any specific formula that I've used. I've tried so many. Once I just wrote a title. Which I can't recall at the moment, and I just liked the title, you know, and the song didn't come for a couple of years later. Usually, it'll be me fidgeting around on the guitar. One thing I like to do on the guitar is try to make up my own chords. And sometimes I'll make up a chord and say, gee, that doesn't sound too bad. And then if I can make up a second chord or a third chord or maybe just employ a traditional chord, see if I can make up a short lyric to accompany that chord progression. So I guess most of the time it starts with a chord progression that hopefully, you know, no one has ever heard before. You know, I mean, I try to avoid the standard three chord, you know, rock songs that, you know, so many groups do. They try to make it, you know, that's the objective, to try to make it somewhat unique. But I don't know if there's any set formula, you know, that I've used as a songwriter. I mean, I've learned, you know, you gotta have an intro, you gotta have some verses, you gotta have a chorus, you gotta have a bridge, you know, and then you come out of the bridge into the chorus, and, you know, and then maybe another verse, and then the outro. So I guess there's a sort of formula, but, you know, sometimes it's fun to start a song with the chorus, you know, and then go into the verse just to see what'll happen, you know, if I try that little bit of experimentation. So, you know, for me, I like to experiment. You know, that's one thing great about the studio, you know. If you don't like it, you know, you go back and do it again, you know, if you have the time.
Visit Rick at his official website, www.rickzweig.com. From the CD Running Out of Time, here is Rick Zweig with Puppet.
Thinks he knows everything. Follow him all over town. Oh, look, just fell down. See the monkey organ grind. I'm sure he won't mind. Up it with a broken wing. Plays guitar ring-ding-a-ling. Ask him to play a tune. There's a chance he will ruin. Catch the clown, he's in a bind. He's not hard to find. Puppet on a string. What will this bring? I'd like to tweak. Catch the clown, he's in a bind. He's not hard to find. Puppet on a string with a broken wing. Puppet on a string.
And who did you work with in producing this album?
I was pretty fortunate. I had my producer is a 29-year-old guy from Nicaragua who's just a brilliant producer. His name is Luis Salazar, and he's stationed here in Miami. And Luis has made somewhat of a name for himself. He's worked with Lil Wayne. Done some work for Jennifer
Hudson.
Right. He did some work for Jennifer Hudson. He's just a musician, producer, and Luis and I have worked together now for a number of years, and as I said earlier, we're going back in the studio in 2 days to collaborate again. This will be the third album that he and I have worked on. And I also was fortunate to have Mike Fuller do the mastering on my last two CDs. And Mike has worked with all the big names down here in South Florida, you know, like Gloria Estefan and Lenny Kravitz, you know, worked with, and the Bee Gees and Rod Stewart, and God, so many other. He was the head guy at Criteria for many years, so, you know, I'm fortunate. You know, it's always, I guess, sort of a carryover from the legal business. You know, if you surround yourself with the right people, you know, it makes it a lot easier. And I've been fortunate. Also, a lot of the local, you know, musicians have been really receptive to me, you know, as far as helping out, you know, without the necessity of, you know, getting paid or anything. Just wanting to be a part, you know. You know, most of the musicians that I encounter down here in South Florida, you know, they play in cover bands, and they're great, you know. But, you know, it seems that if they get an opportunity to be creative themselves, they jump at it. I feel I've been very fortunate in getting the best out of a lot of different people. One person I should mention is a girl singer by the name of Christina Feliciano, who comes singing. Out of time. She's got an amazing voice, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if she makes it. She's in a band called, I believe it's called Oblivious Signal, and she'd be mad at me if I didn't mention her. So There you go, Christina. I mentioned you.
From the CD, what songs resonate for you the most personally and why?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. Question number two, song number two, which is entitled I'd Like to Do It Again, is a song I wrote about a relationship I had that really just sort of recently ended. You know, it lasted about 6 years, and I think I, at least lyrically, you know, that one worked. I indicated earlier that I wasn't always satisfied with my lyrics, but that one seemed to work pretty well. And the basic theme was there's a lot of things, you know, we'd all like to change, you know, if we could live our lives over again. But, you know, sometimes you meet a woman who is so perfect, you know, that there's nothing that you want to change with regard to that. And that was the theme of that particular tune. And then there's another tune on the album called Puppet, which is probably sort of autobiographical and sometimes how I felt. I mean, everybody thinks, you know, when you're a criminal court judge, you have all this autonomous power, you know, you can do anything you want, but very often that's not the case, and there's a lot of competing influences, you know, affecting what you do and how you do it, and Puppet, I think, addresses that issue. And then the title tune, Running Out of Time, I guess I was thinking, gee, you know, I'm not getting any younger, and if I'm going to become a great famous rock star, which frankly I don't think would be such a good idea, even if it were to happen. But I guess, you know, that talks about just, you know, not having a whole lot of time to do this. So whatever time I have left, the important thing is make it count, you know. And that's probably good advice even for somebody your age, you know, whatever you do in life, you know, make it count for something, because we only get one shot at this, you know.
Right. Have there been any reactions to the album that have surprised you?
I got one review recently, which was very critical of my lyrical content. The guy liked the music, but he was pretty outspoken in his criticism of the lyrical content, and, you know, I mean, I was upset for a day or two, and then I said, well, wait a second, you know, this guy's objective, and try to heed what he has to say, and learn from it, you know, get better, you know, and if you do get better, send him the next CD, and maybe he'll have a, you know, a better opinion. But the reviews really have been spectacular for Running Out of Time, with that one exception. I've really been very much pleased and overwhelmed with the positive responses I've got. But, you know, in life, I think one thing I do, I tend to pay more attention to the negativity than I do the positivity, you know. I mean, okay, I got a great review, I'm wonderful, but, you know, will that make me any better, or just give me a swelled head, you know. The negative review challenges me, you know. I mean, can I turn this guy around, you know, with the next CD? So I think there's, you know, some benefit from that. But I, you know, to answer your question, I was a little taken aback by it, but I'm going to make the most of it.
What would you like a person to come away with after they've heard this album?
Just enjoy it, have some pleasure, you know. Enjoy the music. It's good rock and roll, you know. And I mean, you know, why do we make music? Why do we listen to it? You know, it's like the quote on your website from Igor Stravinsky, you know, which I don't have in.
Oh, mind. We cannot describe sound, but we can't forget it.
Yeah. There you go. That's thank you. We can't forget it. So I mean, you know, hopefully, you know, somebody who listens to the album, there'll be something on the album that'll strike a chord with that person and say, gee, you know, I'm humming that tune the next day, or I can't get it out of my mind. You know, that's the objective, just to share, you know, just to share that feeling.
Visit Rick at his official website, www.rickzweig.com. Here is Rick once again with the title track of his latest CD, Running Out of Time.
Thank you. crazy game. You even change your name for just a little taste.
That's going to do it for this edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles. A special thanks goes out to Rick Zweig and to Rhonda Brilliant of Rainmaker Media Group. Visit Rick at his official website, www.rickzweig.com. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media, LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Musical Aptitude since 2005.